Oh, welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody, and happy early Thanksgiving. It is Monday, November 25th. I am your host, Chad Sherwood. Joined a little three-man crew here to the holidays. We got David Griggs down there. Unfortunately, we did have to get him back today.
I have kicked everyone off the panel.
They've
It's more
all
time for
gone
me to talk
running
about
away.
what's going on at San Jose State and all of the cheating.
We also have Matt Sikowski joining us over here. At least I don't have to be totally bogged down with the puppet all night alone. This is our Hoops HD report. We're going to discuss everything and anything that's going on. And this is a very busy week. Griggs, this is one of the best weeks of the college basketball season, and I'm not joking about that.
It is. Championship week is a fantastic 13, 14 days. So is Feast Week, another great 12, 13 day week. I love it. Well, for starters, you get a lot of unique matchups. It's teams that normally don't play and normally wouldn't play. And not only are they playing, but they're playing in some very unique, special type venues. The Paradise Gym, we've got games going on in ballrooms, these small, intimate arenas. It is great. And I we'll get into this a little bit, Chad, but one of the things that I wish more people realized about these tournaments is just how important they are and how much emphasis there is for a lot of the teams that are playing in them. And sometimes you don't even know it at the time. I want to say it was 3 or 4 years ago. You might remember this, but there was a fifth place game, and I think the Advocare tournament that I went and looked back at March, and we didn't even write it up. And it turned out to be hugely important for selection and seeding because both teams ended up having big years. So the committee is absolutely, and this is not hyperbole, they are absolutely watching all of these and paying very close attention. These are hugely important games.
And you mentioned a fifth place game. The fact of the matter, though, is whether it's a seventh place game or a championship game, it's a single game on your schedule when they look back. They don't look and say, oh, that was a seventh place game. That game does not count as much.
No, they don't do that at all.
That game is still a game on your schedule. Whether you win or lose it is very important. That's why these loser bracket games can be very interesting games. It can be huge games. We're going to have a. We're about to we'll talk about it in a minute here. We've got UConn in the losers bracket of the Maui Invitational now. And that doesn't mean that they should just ignore this game against Colorado they're going to have tomorrow. They better win that game.
Yeah,
They're
they
going to
need to.
start they're going
Right.
to start falling on seed lines,
Yeah,
honestly.
if one of the teams they'll likely play is the loser of the Iowa State Auburn game, which is a huge game tonight.
It's a UConn Iowa State or UConn Auburn game, even though it'll be the fifth place game, that'll be a huge game
Yeah.
for both teams
I mean, that might be
when
one of
that
the
happens.
bigger wins that either one of them manages. And on nowhere on any profile in any metric in anything is it going to matter that it was a fifth place game.
Let's get to some games. Let me pull the screen share up here. And although we normally start with the top conferences, I thought we'd start tonight in the American because of what happened this afternoon between Memphis and UConn. And Matt, did we lose you there? I think we lost Matt also. Let's
Oh,
try to get
God.
it back. So,
Yeah.
Griggs, I was going to ask Matt about this Memphis UConn game, but I got to throw it over to you here as well. What a game. Memphis thought they had this thing on cruise control late. UConn came storming back, yet Memphis found a way in overtime, thanks to, in part, significantly in part, to the Danny Hurley technical.
Yes, that had a lot to do with it. Memphis, as you said, was on cruise control and they'd had a really good season. One of the games that impressed me about their ceiling was the one right before this against San Francisco. It wasn't in their on-campus arena, but it was still a road game against a really good team. And they did not have a good first half, but they made adjustments and came out, had a really strong second half. And I think everybody left that thinking, I'm a much bigger believer in Memphis than what we normally are, but I still wasn't expecting them to win this one the day. But oh my God, they just went out there. They made big plays through most of the second half. They did sort of come apart at the end with turnovers, some coaching mistakes maybe, and UConn forced overtime. And you mentioned the technical fouls that when it looked like UConn was actually kind of pulling ahead and had the momentum their way that shifted it back. Hurley just sort of blew his lid, I guess, and it ended up being a huge factor in that. But
And if you want to see something ridiculous, watch Hurley's post-game press conference. I won't say any
yeah.
more of it, but he made up some of the dumbest excuses I've ever heard of,
Yeah.
as opposed to just owning it. I mean, he's screwed up, honestly. You cannot put yourself in a situation where the refs have any shot of calling a technical on you in overtime in a close game late. You just
Yeah.
can't do that. You cannot do it.
And
I
he
think.
earned it. And one of his explanations was, I thought, really good. He didn't know one of the refs.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Okay. Well, Griggs, real quickly here, so in terms of the rest of the conference, as we wait for Matt to get back on with us here, note that Wichita State is also still sitting here undefeated in the American.
Yeah, let's go
They
ahead and pull them and let.
picked up a big win over St. Louis. Now, St. Louis was shorthanded for that game, although I
Yeah.
think Avila is going to be back for the next game. But I'll pull Wichita State up here on the right. You want to
Yeah.
talk a little Shockers basketball?
Yeah, and one of the things that's impressed me about Wichita State, aside from the record, is that you look at this, and it isn't exactly heavyweight wins. I don't know if any of these teams will be anywhere near the bubble, but they went on the road to Western Kentucky and won. They beat St. Louis, who was shorthanded, but they blew their doors off. This was a St. Louis team that's made up predominantly of players from Indiana State from a year ago that won the NIT, almost made the NCAA tournament. And this was another Wichita team that we weren't too excited about, or at least I wasn't in the preseason, that has really shown out, in my opinion. And Northern Iowa, not a bad team either, by under the radar standards. They won that rather handily. And I'm not going to say that they've performed at the level that Memphis has or lifted that much weight, but the Shockers have looked good. And when you look at the rest of the league, there are some bloated records here. But I think Wichita State's done a little more to earn it. I don't think, like East Carolina, I think all but one of their wins is home bye games. Rice, a lot of home bye games. So Wichita State, despite some good records in this conference, has impressed me the most. I'll tell you who has not impressed me is UAB.
Yeah, they have been disappointing, including a loss to Longwood this week. I'm not seeing anything there from UAB at this point. And I'm not
Yeah.
looking. I just don't see it. But here's the upcoming schedule. Memphis does get Michigan State tomorrow. That Michigan State did beat Colorado in that second game out of Maui, so that is your matchup. And then they have a chance at Auburn or Iowa State or North Carolina. I mean, I
Yeah.
don't know that they can win this event in Maui, but I give them a shot tomorrow against Michigan State, Griggs.
Oh, I do too. And even if they don't win it, if they come out of here with a win against UConn and a win against Michigan State, this Memphis team is sailing. Those are protected seed caliber wins.
Wichita State's also going to get a shot, I believe, at Minnesota. Minnesota and then the water, well, either Florida or Wake Forest. So,
Yeah.
in an event that I think they can win. I don't think
I do
there's.
too. Yeah, Florida a really good team, but they can. I certainly think they're going to beat Minnesota and. Yeah, I think they can win that event.
All right, let's roll over to some of the major conferences. And while we were talking UConn, let's stick with talking a little more UConn. Let's jump, or maybe a few other teams in the league here. Let's jump over to the Big
Yeah.
East.
So I know Matt had some takes on this. Go
Oh,
to
you're
another
sure?
one. Let's
That's all
let's
right.
switch
Look,
over to
we're
Matt.
going to come back to the Big East. We'll go
Yeah,
to the Big
because
Ten
Matt's trying
instead
to get
because
his
we.
internet fixed. We just saw on the email.
Okay,
Hey, Matt,
okay.
if your internet's broken, how are you able to email us and say that your internet's broken? That's what I want to know. This is what we should be talking about on the show.
Big Ten Conference. There's a lot of scores up here, and unfortunately, I think I got to start with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights with the game at Kennesaw here on just yesterday, just on Sunday. We got Matt back, by the way.
Matt, you missed the
Miami
American.
decided to act like a Big East team in November here.
Yeah.
Well, we did decide to come back to the Big East. We'll get back there in a second after this, Matt.
Yeah.
We're just starting on the Big Ten, and I
Yeah.
was just gonna let me ask you about it. Rutgers goes on the road to Kennesaw State, a true road game. So, but they got down big, and they had a chance late to come back. They couldn't quite do it, though.
It's one of those you can hear it like that's basically why a team like Rutgers should not play that game. And that if you're gonna give the home game for your top recruit, make it a level down even from Kennesaw State, like Georgia Southern, or something where you know you're gonna win the game.
Or at least, I mean, maybe if they'd even played it in Atlanta on a neutral court. I mean, you're right outside of Atlanta there. You play it up in Chattanooga on a neutral court, as opposed to giving them the home court advantage. That might have just been enough to get the extra 4 or 5 points they needed for the win, I
Oh
think.
yeah, that's the
Well,
one where is Brett Musburger called them the guys of the desert. Know that hey, basically 3 or 4 points for the home advantage, and you lose by two. There you go, and that's and it's one. I don't think it'll be a Q4 loss, but even a Q3 loss is something on your resume to where I think Rutgers is one of those teams that profiles to being very close in or very close out.
okay,
And
let me jump in here. Wichita State is, I know it was just 2 years ago, but they're pretty far removed from the team that won the ASUN with Amir Abdur-Rahim being his coach and went to the NCAA tournament. This is not a team that was expected to do well. And you say that you want to avoid games like this. I actually think that these, more often than not, are the kind of game, if you want to manipulate the metrics. If everybody in a conference collectively schedules a game like this and goes out there and win it, it will inflate the metrics. Aren't you a little concerned? If you can't beat Kennesaw, how the hell are you going to go to Indiana and Purdue and Whiskey and Maryland and some of these snake pits in the Big Ten and win there? And I personally think that while the loss was, I mean, it is a bit of a bloody nose for Rutgers. Chad made a good observation that they did come back. I think they were just a little bit deer in headlights for the first time being on the road in front of an excited, hostile crowd. And now they're used to it. They might actually be a better team than they were before that game.
let me throw this out there, though, Griggs. You say, how can you, if you can't go to Kennesaw and win, how can you go to Indiana and win? How can you go to Wisconsin and win? How can you go to. But let me throw you a thought there, though. When you went to go to Kennesaw and play that game, you are playing in Kennesaw's Super Bowl. This is the
Yeah, you
biggest
are.
game they've played in years. When you go and you play your road game in Indiana, it's just another Big Ten home road game for Indiana. It's
It's not.
not the greatest game ever for Hoosiers fans. And I think you're in a more hostile crowd at Kennesaw than you'd be up in Indiana, believe it or not.
No, I believe that. Well, certainly more hostile or more electric because Indiana, they got the students upstairs, and here they were all the way around the court. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. To your point, like some of those under the radar venues, and I know you know this, Chad, can get incredibly electric. Whereas, I mean, but Wisconsin, it's hard to win there. It's one of the harder home courts in the nation.
Well, let's talk a little Wisconsin. In fact, Matt, I know you're a big Wisconsin fan,
Huge one.
but they actually had a real good week though with their wins over UCF and Pitt.
Oh yeah, that's what my, you almost lose last Monday at home to UTRGV, and then forget that. Then you go on a neutral court and you beat a UCF team who has some tournament hopes. So you already beat A&M, who's in the top 25 or if not close. And then you go beat, I think, Pitt, a legit top 25 team on a neutral court, and man, like you have those two neutral court wins and like. And if Arizona plays anything to like to their historical standards, at least under Tommy Lloyd, that might be 3 Q1 wins right there, and that's that's a third of your way to a protected seed, or maybe half your way to a protected seed.
Yeah.
And Griggs, I think there's a couple of teams we do need to discuss in this conference. Let's start with the Cornhuskers, though.
Yeah.
They pick up the win at Creighton. Very impressive. Whether or not Creighton was had everybody or not, or any injury issues, still, you win at Creighton. That says something, does it not?
It says a lot, and one of the things about this game was that I thought the game plan and the execution and the in-game adjustments for Nebraska were masterful. They erased the paint. I know Creighton is predominantly, you think, outside shooting, but they are also a pretty good front court. Not that night. Nebraska just ate them for lunch. I thought their defense was outstanding. I thought it was one of the more impressive coaching. Fred Hoiberg is a great coach. I don't want to say. Don't want to discredit anything he did before this, but didn't Nebraska, I know you all watch this, just seem so much more prepared and so ready to go on the road and neutralize what is a rather raucous crowd usually.
Raucous crowd. Now I know Ashworth gets injured, which is huge for Creighton, and he's out indefinitely at this point too. So who knows?
And I'm not saying that that wasn't a big thing, but at no point before that was Nebraska not dominant.
Oh no,
Like,
I think the
it
closest
wasn't
play was
like it
like
was close
7 in
and
the
then
second
Ash.
half was the closest Creighton got, and like it was like 10, roughly 10 when Ashworth got hurt. I mean, that's one of those like Creighton might have had like a 20% chance to win before he got hurt, but we're not talking like, oh, Creighton had a 10-point lead and that caused him to lose the game. Now, they being outplayed the entire game because that's what it was. And that, and that, and that. I was a great game plan, and then the
It was
one
a
thing that
great
gave
game
them
plan.
credit all year is their guard play. Like Ashworth, who got hurt, isn't bad. Not a fan at all of Pop Isaacs. Just volume score, doesn't know how to pass. And then Jemiah Neal, like, nice player, but then I think doesn't compliment Kalkbrenner in that he's also trying to get inside to score. He's not much of a shooter. So, like, you got what? You don't have a floor spacer at the three. You got Chucker, who's not even a great shooter at the two. And Ashworth, who's a good shooter as a point guard, but not a great distributor. And, like, it's a weird mix. So, like, even when healthy, I don't necessarily love them. And now, with Ashworth out, man, they might be playing their way right out of the tournament.
We're gonna talk a little more about the Big East chance of what how many teams of the Big East even look at that for NCAA tournament here in a few minutes. We'll go over to the Big East, but before we jump over there, Griggs, I think we got to talk about one other team, and maybe it ties into the Big East as well here, actually. Purdue. Everyone was screaming about this Purdue team, and they kind of got their asses kicked by Marquette on Tuesday night. I know
They
you were very
did.
happy about that, also.
No, I will say this. I still think Purdue is a good team. I don't think they're Final Four good like they were last year, but I definitely think that they're protected seed good. They were on the road at Marquette. And I just think Marquette is really, really good. I mean, even in on the preseason show, we were discussing why in the world aren't they getting more love? They've outperformed everyone in the Big East, and it isn't even close. So I was more impressed with Marquette than I was disappointed in Purdue, but it was disappointing.
And yeah, we'll get back to Marquette here in one second. Just want to take a quick look at the upcoming schedule for the Big Ten. Couple of notes here that Penn State will be taking on Clemson tomorrow in the championship of that event there. And Michigan State will get that Memphis game tomorrow as well. A couple of games definitely worth circling. And then Rutgers is out in the Players Era Festival where they're going to start with Notre Dame on Tuesday. More importantly, they'll circle this game Wednesday also. That Rutgers Alabama game might be in and out of our heads a little bit, I think, but who knows?
In that one, but they should beat Notre Dame.
That's what
Also,
I
go ahead, Matt.
I say Notre Dame, they lost at home to Elon. So
But we also pay attention to Indiana this week. I think this is where we find out a ton about Indiana and their event, where they get Louisville, then potentially Gonzaga, and then a team like Providence or Arizona or
yeah,
Oklahoma, or
Indiana
maybe
ranked real.
Davidson if they're in the seventh place game. Who knows?
Indiana ranked really high. I'm not quite as big as on them as well, certainly not as the voters are. That
No
Louisville
doubt.
game's interesting. I don't think Louisville's particularly bad, but I don't think that they're good either. If Indiana can't get by Louisville, I think it's a sign that they're certainly not a top 25 team.
One other game here. Don't overlook this Illinois Arkansas game on Thanksgiving Day either. I think that's a
Yeah, it's a
really
good one.
fascinating game. Find out just how good Illinois is or isn't this year, and maybe just how good Arkansas is as well.
Yeah, that's the one where, like, I still there's elements to Illinois I liked in the Alabama game. That man, Arkansas, that's one of those. It's too call party like that. They look like that 2016-18 Kentucky teams that, like, detached from the modern game of, like, you don't get floor spreaders, and that in one of Vucic might be your best 3-point shooter. That's not a great sign of roster construction.
Absolutely. Also throw in there that Pitt Ohio State game on
And
Friday.
that's a good one, yeah.
Not that.
Pitt, we're going to talk about them in a little bit, but Pitt having a good year, but so's Ohio State.
I'll tell you what, Griggs, let's go talk about Pitt. I'll start with you with you on this here. Let's jump over to the ACC before we head back to the Big East. This Pitt team, I know, is a team we want to discuss. We know they lost that game to Wisconsin, but I know you've been real impressed by what you've seen so far from them anyhow.
Yeah, I have. And I know that you see a lot of bloated records looking at the standings, but they've actually lifted some weight. A neutral floor win over LSU, who is not a road bye game or a home bye game, excuse me. They blew West Virginia's doors off. And the one thing, while they didn't beat Wisconsin, we just got through talking about how good we thought Wisconsin was. They were really competitive in that game. And as you go through the Big East, one of the things you're not going to see is an abundance of wins that are not home bye games outside of Duke and Pitt. I mean, I just don't really think anybody else has looked as good as they are. I know Stanford's undefeated. They haven't looked that good. I think 100 teams would be undefeated against that schedule.
I'll tell you what you see here. This is the time of year when you look on that right-hand column with the week's results, when you talk about a power conference, you should see almost all blue.
And
We
yeah.
don't. We see losses by Notre Dame at home to Elon this week. We see Virginia Tech losing at home to Jacksonville this week. We see Miami with a loss to Drake.
And
We
to
see
everybody else, they fight.
Virginia with multiple losses, albeit against good competition. Georgia Tech with a home loss, albeit to a halfway decent Cincinnati team. But Matt, at the end of the day, I see Duke, Carolina, maybe Pitt, and where's even the fourth bid coming from for in this league if it's going to happen?
Maybe if they still got the magic going from last year at NC State, like I don't think their roster, like that's what like their roster is sort of intriguing. I think again, Brandon Huntley Hutzer Huntsfield in the portal was huge for them to have kind of replace a little bit of the DJ Burns magic. And that's where it puts like if you feel the need to take a fourth team of the ACC, NC State would probably be that fourth one.
On the other hand, Matt, when you talk about the ACC teams, you may only get three teams in, maybe four barely, but two of those teams are going to be way up there. I mean,
Yeah.
Duke going to Arizona Friday night and beating them by 14 points. That just blew my mind almost how good that Duke team looked.
If Duke gets any kind of consistent shooting, and I think they should from Con Canapel, and that they'll be top five good. That's a really good balanced roster. Wish they had a little more scoring off the bench. Like if they could have got like one, like, I think in the portal they went too role player-y. And they should have somewhere just got like a microwave score, but like that's still a nitpick. But that might be, hey, what keeps them from winning a national title, but it ain't gonna keep them from winning about 16 or 18 games in the ACC.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things that Duke has shown, they're a really young team. I think that loss at Kentucky made them a lot better. I don't know if they look as good against Arizona had they not played Kentucky first. And sometimes teams, especially when you get into the winter break, the Christmas break that's coming up, and all of a sudden, like there's no restrictions to practice hours, sometimes that's when young teams really, really start to look better and improved. And February Duke is probably going to be good enough to blow November Duke off the floor. I think Duke is,
Yeah.
I don't want to say they're going to run the table in this conference, but God, are they
Well,
going to be good?
right now, Griggs, they're not looking at the conference at all. They got Kansas
Yeah.
coming on Tuesday, coming
Yeah.
up tomorrow. I mean, yeah, you've already played Kentucky, you've already played at Arizona. Now you get Kansas. I mean,
Yeah.
they scheduled pretty good, I think.
They did, and I like that they did that, and I think that it's going to make them so much better.
And of course, we're to look at North Carolina in the Maui. They're playing Dayton tonight, but they're assuming they win this game. They're going to either Auburn or Iowa State. Based on early returns, it looks like it might be Iowa State tomorrow
Yeah.
that they would get in the winners bracket. As Iowa State has a big lead early against Auburn, but it's still very early in that game as we record this. But now, why don't we go ahead and jump over to the Big East here? And Matt, again, I just asked, is there a fourth team in the ACC? Is there even a third team in the Big East at this
Yeah, that's the
point?
one, man. Like, I just saw like Marquette's playing their way like, in the strong protected seed conversation already. UConn, you trust me, even after today. I'll trust the back-to-back national champions with this level of talent on their roster to at least be like 3-4 seed good. But man, after that, like St. John's, I mean, it's like still looks strong in the predictive metrics, but like they were strong in the predictive metrics last year and got left out and
Well,
low in F.
now
Yeah.
St. John's, I mean they went double overtime with Baylor. They should have won the game. They didn't.
Yeah.
They played really good against Georgia team that I think is undervalued here. So I
Very,
hate to
yeah.
give them credit here, but I think St. John's is good, and I think the team that I have more questions about is Xavier than St. John's right now, especially as we record this. They're down five at halftime to, I think, the worst team in the SEC, South Carolina.
Oh yeah, no, Xavier. I thought they were kind of a wild card this week and prove it, but like lean toward not having a whole lot of faith in them, and now. And then Creighton, like some of their injury issues and even a little bit the roster construction issues. Like the one X factor for Creighton is they have a really good international player currently not eligible. They get him eligible, and he's kind of like a playmaking wing. Not quite Igor Demin at BYU, but at least sort of along those lines. And plus, like, the doubt is he's better played as a pro already, and like this pro team in Europe didn't want to keep him. So like they get him eligible, that could be the game changer they need. But man, like. They're doing a lot of damage to their resume already, losing that home game to Nebraska, and that which will probably be Q2, and then maybe even Q3 if Nebraska gets eaten alive at the Big Ten. And that now this week, they probably could maybe still take San Diego State, although historically have struggled against Mountain West teams. So you never know that. And then I can't see this Creighton being beating A&M. And then whoever they get the last day of the Players Festival, that's one thing you could see them 4 or 5 losses in non-conference play and like suddenly having to ring up like a 14-6 of the Big East.
Griggs, normally this time of year or any time of year, when we look at resume-based metrics like the SOR and the JNG, the worst team is DePaul. Yet here we are with Villanova, clearly the worst team in the league. Seton Hall, according to those metrics, the second worst team in the league. DePaul, nowhere near the bottom of the league. I get all they do is beat directional Illinois schools like they did this week, but now up to 6-0. You got to give Chris Holtmann some credit, don't we?
Yeah, you do. And yes, they've only won home bye games. Last year they couldn't even do that. Last year they won 3 games total, and I think they lost every Big East game they played. Weren't really competitive in very many of them. Now, they're not going to be at the top of the league. I don't think anybody, the rational part of everyone's brain is telling them that they're probably going to be at or near the bottom once they get in the conference play. And if you look at the JNG, a very accurate metric, we might add it, predicting the NCAA tournament, their next
78.
top 300 win will be their first. But they're beating, at least they're beating those teams. Last year, they weren't even doing that.
Well, their next game is going to be the home game against Valpo, which is going to be their toughest opponent yet, according to the JNG. And then it gets serious. They got Texas Tech, they got Wichita State, they got Northwestern on the road. They're done, other than a home game against Loyola December 28th, they're done with their bye games too after this
But
week.
it is a process, and I think that there's most of the time, coming from me, this is going to sound weird. I think when you're DePaul and you're Chris Holtmann and you're trying to get your team used to what it feels like to win, when you're in as rough shape as they were, that's not a bad way to schedule.
Oh, and like I'm not going to fault them scheduling that way at all, given their
Yeah.
history. And the one interesting fact, if Torvik rankings are now on the committee seat, if
They
you
are.
take out the preseason priors, they're playing as a tournament level team. The problem is that again, with that non-conference schedule, that's going to be an anchor. Even if like they play their way out of the bubble, and that's going to be
They've
such an anchor,
only
they're going to have
Matt.
to be like all the way in.
Wait a second, Matt. Right now they're tied for the number one non-conference strength of schedule. Oh,
Yeah.
wait. Actually, a week from today, first net rankings and first strength of schedule rankings are all going to be coming out. So next week's Hoops HD report, we're going to have nets. We'll have SOSs. There'll be a lot
Yeah.
more information on the screen here that we're going to be talking about.
But just doing some back of the napkin math there, looking at that schedule, plus all those 300 teams is not going to equal a top 10 conference in the
You see the rest of the upcoming games. I think we've already discussed most of the important ones here already. Providence in that event with Oklahoma, Davidson in Arizona, Gonzaga, Louisville, Indiana. I think they might be in a little trouble in that event, honestly, but we'll see what happens. Butler with Northwestern, then either UNLV or Mississippi State in their event. Let's though move over. Let's move over to the Big 12. And this is a heck of a conference too. And Matt, as we record this even, everybody hyping up this Iowa State Auburn game tonight in the quarterfinals of the Maui, two top five teams. It's all Iowa State so far already. It's still not over yet, but does that say something about just how strong this Big 12 is versus the rest of college basketball?
Yes, and I think it's one of those again. Iowa State brought almost everyone back from last year. Didn't go crazy the transfer portal. Trusted their process, and lo and behold, they're basically playing one of the big teams of let's bring a whole guys together, try to throw it in the blender and see if it works. And it generally works fairly well for Auburn, but I think at the highest high level here, and that I'd much rather be the Iowa State situation where you have roster continuity, guys who will fit into your game plan that you've recruited for the style. And then you see, I think, especially in November, which a lot of times where most of these resumes are made, there you go. That's why you got Iowa State doing what they're doing to Auburn, and then playing their way probably right to another 1 through 3 seed.
Yeah, can we pull up Iowa State? Because this is kind of—I mean, I agree with everything Matt said, and they're ranked that high for a reason, largely because of the retention. Their schedule's about to get a lot harder, but the one thing they have not—those are not just weak opponents; those are like centenary candidates almost,
Well,
and they were
but they,
just not testing themselves.
but they
And I,
crushed them. But they crushed them. But look at what they're already. I mean, again, we recorded this before halftime, so
yeah,
Auburn could
well,
come back in the second half, and you're all going to be laughing at me for saying how good
no,
Iowa State's looking at the
but
first
I'm
half right now.
surprised Auburn went out and played, and God, they played some. I mean, they went to Houston, which is probably up till now,
But
and
wait a second, Griggs. I'm not going to agree with you there because, yes, well, Iowa State played three cupcakes. They're in this Maui field, which is incredible. They got Marquette after this. They got a road trip to Iowa. They
yeah.
have the non-conference
No. It's
test to
picking
come.
up. I'm not doing a good job of making my point. I didn't think Iowa State was battle tested yet, and that they would. I mean, I certainly knew that they were about to be, but holy crap, are they ready for the battle?
Griggs, I pulled up Cincinnati there on the right. This is a team that I
Talk about
did
a team
not.
that's not battle tested. Not battle.
You know what? But the fact they go and they go on the road to Georgia Tech and win the game 81-58. You don't do that on the road against an ACC team unless you're a good team, do you?
Not usually. they got. I think Cincinnati is good. I think that they needed to do. I think they needed to challenge themselves a little more. Their first real test is probably Xavier, and will that even be a real test by the time that game rolls
Their
around?
first real test might be at maybe Arizona on January 4th, honestly.
Yeah, Nova not a good team. But again, yeah, they were impressive at Georgia Tech, but keep in mind North Florida also won there. The Jackets not looking all that good. Northern Kentucky gave them a more competitive game than Georgia Tech did.
The one lesson Cincinnati might know is like unless their record is so gaudy, like 30-2 or something, that conference schedule might just right keep them off the one line.
Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule. We mentioned already what Iowa State's going on. We've got the Kansas Duke game, but we've got Houston, Alabama at the game on Tuesday night. You got to circle that one as well. That was the first game of that Players Era Festival. That's a huge one. We got West Virginia, Gonzaga. We got BYU, Ole Miss coming up on Thursday. We got Arizona State, New Mexico on Thursday. Houston, Notre Dame.
Let's talk about Arizona State real quick, because this is a team, I think they're one of the more bigger surprises of the year. Their only loss might be their most impressive showing. A really, really competitive game against Gonzaga, where I know it was an 8-point margin, but with about a minute to go, Arizona State was still right in there. And a really nice win against Grand Canyon on a neutral floor, albeit Grand Canyon a little shorthanded. This was a New Mexico. This was an Arizona State team that I thought would be bringing up the rear. I'm starting to think now that they're a tournament level team.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. I think so many people wrote off Arizona State when they played Duke in an exhibition game and got crushed. Number one, Duke is damn good, as we've already discussed. But number two, it's an exhibition game. And I mean, and I said this back then. I think one of the few people that said this is, I don't read anything into it at all because it's an exhibition game. It doesn't matter. When the games got real, they got real. I also a quick look, BYU. Could have Purdue on Friday as well after their Ole Miss game. So this is a huge week for BYU, one of the teams to keep an eye on this week. Let's jump over to the SEC. Matt, we mentioned Georgia a little bit already. Let's go back to them because I think this is I've been very impressed with what I've seen out of Georgia so far this season. They followed up the Marquette loss of the St. John's one, and they've got a few other nice games already. Well, at Georgia Tech, I guess it's not that nice, but it looked nice back then, I guess.
No,
I just
this.
think,
thanks to that lovely TV situation for the Marquette game, it was the first game in years I listened to you on the radio because I wasn't paying $20 of Flow Sports for one game. But still, even following along on the radio, you tell like it was a fairly close game most of the way. Like 11 probably doesn't speak to what the margin like. Marquette briefly jumped up to 15 early in the second half, but then Georgia snapped it right back to three. So, like, it was played fairly close most of the way, and then Marquette kind of pulled away a little at the end. In that, but that's one, and then, we know, Marquette's top 10, top 15 good. So, like, that's playing competitively with them. And the more importantly, the next day, you just beat a good St. John's team, at least, I think, good St. John's team, whether they said, like, their NCAA selection process might be a little hairy now after this week, but they're still a pretty good team as long as everything sticks together and there's an issue with Devion Smith. But and that the one thing, like, the good thing is getting that St. John's win, and if you can do a little more damage in non-conference, although I don't see many opportunities. 8-10 or 9-9 in the SEC might get you in.
Yeah, only Notre Dame. I guess the Grand
Well, Grand
Canyon game.
Canyon is a decent game, and
But
South
but the
Carolina.
thing is, you have the shots in conference. You mean you have
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
so many
Looking.
shots in conference. Look at those
Yeah.
numbers.
Get a couple of those roadies and do decent job at home, and there you go. Like do
Yeah.
basically what Mississippi State did last year.
And Charleston Southern, not a stronghold.
Griggs, how about over the right side there? I pulled up the Vanderbilt Commodores, another team.
Yeah.
They got the win over Nevada recently. They did lose, follow up with a loss against Drake, but they've already
Drake's
got
good.
Seton Hall, Cal, and Nevada name brands, at least on their resume.
Well, yeah, that's just it. And I mean, like, are those super quality top 25 caliber wins? No, but they're not home bye games either. And for a Vanderbilt team that many of us, or when I say many of us, I mean at least I did not expect them to be a factor. That's not a bad performance. Their only loss was to Drake, who's good. Drake is good. And Nevada is really good. I was probably very impressed with that win against Nevada. And it's just, wow, how many good teams are there in the SEC?
And that's the problem, Matt, is how many good teams are there in the SEC? Because you look at this on the far right columns here are the current rankings in the AP and the coaches poll, either in the top 25 or teams receiving vote where they would rank. There's only three teams in this conference that did not receive votes this week in one of the two polls. One of them is Oklahoma, is undefeated, did not get any votes.
Yeah, I mean,
Missouri's 5-1.
Justice
And then
has been
South
last year.
Carolina is beating a top 25 Xavier team as we record this. So,
Yeah, and looking at the G&G, my goodness.
yeah, but Matt, look at that also. The J&G, everybody's top 100 except for South Carolina. The
Who's beating Xavier?
SOR, it's South Carolina and Missouri who are not. But Matt, I mean, how many good teams are there in this conference? Because there's 16 teams in the league, and there might be 18
There's
good
probably,
teams.
yeah, legitimately like 12, 13, like tournament level teams. Now, they probably all won't make it, but they'll still be in the conversation. And again, they'll be Q1 on the road, Q2 at home type wins. And hey, there you go. Like, and the one team I thought might be a Q4 dog, South Carolina, is beating a Xavier team that's at least got a little bit of a pulse.
And I'm highlighting games here. What the games I'm highlighting here are wins this week over by this conference over name brand opponents. I mean, that's
Yeah.
pretty damn impressive, Griggs. I'm not highlighting. I forgot the
Yeah, those
Vanderbilt
aren't.
Seton Hall game even. Yeah, I mean, that's not just wins over by. These are not by games I just highlighted. These are good
No.
wins that I just highlighted here.
Yeah, no, I mean, real good wins. And the Southern Illinois win by Florida was at least a decent win. I mean, yeah, I mean, they've gone out and played. They haven't just gone to the bakery and stuffed their face on cupcakes. This conference, they've gone out and gotten the wins.
Also, like by the end of the year, Alabama's schedule is going to look absolutely legendary. Like,
Yeah, it will. And so is Auburn's. That's I mean, I just applaud that. I don't know what that, but you wish more teams would follow that model. But these schools go out and they play people.
I would say the only thing negative I see here is there's only one true road game in this past week. It was Mississippi State who got the win at SMU. A solid win
Yeah,
for
it
that
was a good
team,
win. Yeah.
but we'd like to get some road games. We're getting tons of neutral court games at least here, so that's at least something.
Yeah.
And quick shout out to LSU. Went triple overtime. We almost got our quadrupler there, but not
Yeah,
quite.
we did. Yeah.
Upcoming games here, Griggs. And again, there's a ton of games we could circle here. I don't even know that I've got time to circle them all.
Yeah. I mean, you got the exempt tournaments going on. Texas A&M out at Oregon, or not out at Oregon, but I mean, wow. I mean, you almost better off circling the bye games because there's so few of them.
That's another huge game tomorrow, that Texas A&M Oregon game that we didn't even mention yet. Not mentioning all these great games we've got coming up this week. So you're right.
Yeah.
This is a, and we could scroll down here. They don't even all fit on the screen. I guess that's part of the Texas A&M Oregon is part of the Players Era Festival, I think, if
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
correct. Okay.
Yes.
On that note, let's jump over to the Mountain West Conference, where Matt, we're this is a conference. What did they put 6, 7 teams in last year? I don't think we're on that quite on that pace this year from what I've seen so far.
It was 6, and it'll probably maybe be half that this year, if not maybe even a third. Like, I think they'll get a couple in and that, but that's what, like, Nevada, not a bad week, 2-1 there and there, even though And that they're probably had that loss to Vandy, they might want back at some point. And then if the SEC swallows up Vandy in conference play, but yeah, the VCU one, that's big because I know VCU had a rough week out there,
Oh God, yeah.
but at the same time, that's one. If it's an aberration for VCU, that might be a Q1 win. In that, Oklahoma State's probably going to be Q3, but still, like that is a potential Q1 win that can help you. Utah State getting the Iowa win out of neutral court's a big one for them. And
Yeah,
that's a couple of teams doing some damage, and then we'll see. And I think Boise's legit too. That's the one. Like, of those three, and maybe New Mexico, two or three get in.
Yeah, Griggs, real quick, guy. That Utah State was impressive with that one neutral court win over Iowa,
I
and
thought so, yeah.
Boise State today against South Dakota State. Whew, they
What
barely
a
pulled up.
game! Oh
And they
man.
got the W. And this is a South Dakota State team that's actually had some life in non-conference season already. So
Yeah, they did.
don't just write them off as being a you escaped a bad team. I think you escaped a decent, a pretty good team,
I
actually.
think they escaped a really good team. And in fact, it's South Dakota State won that game. Are we starting to talk about them on under the radar as being one of those bubble crashers? Yeah, I agree. Boise's still the team I like the most, but this conference is showing out. New Mexico with some pretty good wins. UNLV better than expected. San Diego State a little disappointing. And of course, we got to look at, I mean, we need to use our resources to investigate all of the cheating that's gone on in the five San Jose State games.
I would say another team very disappointing. Colorado State, that home loss to UC Riverside. Riverside, a decent team by Big West standards, but they shouldn't be winning at Colorado State.
I think Colorado State could really use Jed Taji back.
Upcoming games for the week here. Boise State will be playing in the championship game against. Do they have High Point tomorrow, I believe? Is that correct?
High Point lost. It was,
We
I don't
will.
know. Check the bracket.
We will double check on that, but Griggs, as I double check who Boise is actually playing tomorrow, any other thoughts on any other upcoming games here?
San Diego State versus Creighton. These are two teams that I think had high preseason expectations that are sort of slow out of the gate. They could still end up picking it up and having big years, but you get the sense that that game, I don't know if you agree with me, Matt, is there a sense of urgency for both teams in that game?
Yeah, oh, that's a huge chance because I don't really fancy San Diego State against Oregon. I don't fancy Creighton versus Texas A&M. So yeah, you need to get that one to make sure you ain't leaving Vegas 0-3.
Okay, who's Boise State playing tomorrow? As we're recording this, I was sitting here watching the overtime of the Boston College Missouri State game. That's who they're playing. They're playing BC, who just won in overtime against Missouri State. I think Boise State should be able to roll them. That's
Yeah, I
not a
think so
game they should
too.
be competitive,
BC,
though.
a couple decent wins out there. Earl Grant doing pretty well with a roster that looked like it was crap. But I don't think they're going to beat Boise.
Matt, out on the West Coast Conference, of course it's Gonzaga. That is the big story. They decided to have a bye game this week by playing Long Beach State and crushed them. But and honestly, St. Mary's, the other team, had a pair of bye games this week. So there's not much that we can talk about in terms of wins in this league, are there?
No, although I will say St. Mary's neutral court win over Nebraska may have gained a little bit of value.
Maybe the game that was a little disappointing was Oregon State with that 3-point home loss to Oregon. That could have been a nice win for
Oh
Oregon State, and
yeah.
they'll just pull it
That
out
and then
here.
yeah. USF the narrow loss to Memphis.
Yeah, and then they followed up. They lost to Clemson today. A rough week for South
Yeah.
San Francisco, actually.
Right. They weren't really competitive against Clemson. I mean, I guess they were for a half, but Memphis, they had a chance to win that one.
And man, that would just turn their fortunes right. Plus, you could afford that loss to Clemson if you were to be in Memphis.
Yeah, I think San Francisco, Oregon State, Washington State, these teams may have their backs against the wall. Gonzaga, though, has a heck of a week with West Virginia, then either Louisville or Indiana, then maybe Arizona, and St. Mary's in that event with USC, New Mexico, and Arizona State. Griggs, we're going to see a lot out of these top two West Coast Conference teams this week, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I think so too. Gonzaga is just ridiculously good. I think that they might be. I keep touting Houston. They might be the most impressive team so far. Oh my God, are they good?
One last league, real quick here. The Atlantic 10, we still cover on this show. They've got
Yeah.
five undefeated teams. They have such wonderful things, such as, let's go way down here, Richmond. I guess it was a 10-point final against Florida Tech. They were down. They were only up two with about a minute left of that game. That's non-D1 Florida Tech here tonight. This league has been.
Here's
There's
my
not
point.
much. There's not much talk about. Maybe the top five teams there though are still undefeated though. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
Either one of
Matthew,
you. Either one of
so.
you.
I
Go
was gonna
ahead.
say Joe's beating Texas Tech on a neutral is. Even if St. Joe's itself ain't a tournament team, that's one of those that might help kind of the league through osmosis.
And St. Joe's will be competing for the Big Five championship in December 7th as well,
Well,
in that event.
I would say when you go through this, his Loyola Chicago, I think they had one pretty decent win or one notable win, but pull them up real quick. It's
They won
at
that road game
Princeton.
at Princeton, yeah.
Other than that, all bye games. And if you go back to the standings and you go down,
There's
can we go?
Dayton beat Northwestern at home in
Yeah.
New Mexico State.
Dayton beat Northwestern, but the rest were bye games. And St. Bonnie, it's all bye games. And I think Rhodey is all bye. And I mean, there just haven't really been the wins. And whenever this conference has been tested, be it VCU, who had some, both, they were competitive in both those losses, but eventually, like, you need the wins.
And then see how that quite might be a Q3 loss right there.
Yeah.
This was a heartbreaking week for VCU, honestly. Overtime loss to Seton Hall, 3-point loss to Nevada. At least they pick
Yeah.
up the win over a pretty bad Miami team, but
Right.
they could have
This.
won. They're so close to even winning this entire event. Instead, they finished in 7th place.
Yeah. But this conference isn't going to supply teams with the opportunities the way some of the other power conferences were. But let's look at St. Joe's. On the floor, I know that they have one really, really bad black eye to Central Connecticut, but they had the win against Texas Tech. They were competitive in the game against Texas, and they've at least, I don't know, it's an eye test thing. I guess I'm just sort of stuck on the fact that no one else in the league has really looked good that often. Dayton beat Northwestern at home. They had to come from behind to do it, and they were at home.
Now that's a Northwestern team that might finish in the back quarter of the Big Ten.
Right. Well, it's just a fair question. This was a league that I was really big on coming into the year, and while at least I guess they're taking care of business in their bye games, just to both of you, has anyone impressed you? Anyone at all?
Well, my problem with the league, Riggs, is they didn't schedule any of these big
They
games.
didn't.
I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, Joe's is probably the exception because they have Texas Tech, Texas, and they're going to get Virginia Tech here. But look here at Rhode Island. I was impressed by the way Rhode Island beat what I thought was a pretty good Charleston team, 91-53. But again, it's probably going to be a tier three win because it was at home. And
Yeah.
what else do they have? They get a home game against Providence, and then conference play. Matt, your thoughts? I'm looking for a chance for quality wins, and they don't
Yeah,
have
that's
it
what like that
in
type
or
of
out of conference.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the type of schedule in Rhode Island you got to go like 28-4 or 20 something like that to have a serious chance of getting that large because your SOS is that conference is gonna be in the 300s and you're not gonna have a ton of big you're not gonna have a ton of Q1 wins or big time opportunities in the A-10. So, like you're gonna have to put up a super gaudy record to make it with that SOS.
And I don't know that anybody else in this league is going to be any better than that. You
Right.
could take a quick look at Davidson. They're also undefeated. Oh, you beat East Tennessee State, VMI, and Bowling Green.
Yeah, and those aren't even good under the radar teams. I
They are
mean,
in the big event here with Arizona. And was that the battle for Atlantis and
oh
Gonzaga? Yeah,
yeah, man.
they are in the battle for Atlantis. But I expect them to finish 7th place. I'd be shocked if they don't finish, sorry, 8th place. I'd be shocked if they don't finish eighth
Well,
place.
maybe they beat West Virginia in the seventh place game, but yeah,
Maybe. Yeah.
that's also a maybe. That's not a guarantee, but like when you're
Yeah.
thinking best case scenario, it's probably the seventh place win.
But it,
But
yeah, it. Go
the
ahead.
Charleston, Charlotte, Detroit, Bethune-Cookman, Eastern Michigan. Come on, give me a
Yeah, you're
break,
not even
Davidson.
trying. I'm. Golly. Yeah.
Anyhow, quick look at the upcoming schedule in the A-10 before we move on. Obviously, Dayton tonight also has the huge is out in Maui, so they got the game against North Carolina, but. Again, we expect them to feed in the 7th place game
Yeah.
against Colorado on Wednesday in this event as well. So, with these teams, they're either scheduling way above their heads or total
Yeah.
garbage, as opposed to, schedule a road game against a Big Ten team. Go ahead
Or
and do
Mount,
it,
yeah,
or a
that's it.
Mountain
Like, we're
West
like,
team.
Mountain
Yeah, like
West or the American.
ACC teams. You could pick up tons of wins there too.
Yeah, that's where, like, outside of Dayton and VCU, and I guess maybe a little bit Joe's, like, none of these teams have the gravitas to even get into these huge events. So you got to schedule otherwise. You can't just say, oh, maybe I'm going to be in Maui at the Battle of Atlanta. So, like, you're not going to be in the Players Festival and that. So, like,
Yeah, they
you
might
got
not
to,
be
like,
in those.
schedule otherwise. Yeah.
Okay, but like the event at Boise State's and the one in the Bahamas, like that was a solid field. That's better than these home buy
Oh
games
yeah, no.
that they're playing.
Do something like something else to where you give yourself a chance to be an at-large team, because like these are not, you basically just schedule like DePaul, and then it, like DePaul at least has an excuse for it. Most of these teams outside, maybe Rhode Island's in sort of been in a similar situation where they've been down for so long, even going 25-6 and making the NIT might feel good.
I guess on that note, I'm going to go ahead and pull this down here. That does complete all the leagues for tonight, and I'm going to run through each of you for any other final thoughts. Matt, I'll start off with you.
Yeah, doing this exercise and seeing how the Big East and that, like, it is going to be a ridiculous proportion of teams of the Big 12, Big 10, and SEC in this field. And, like, it's not going to be fun, but, like, the Big East teams, you've done yourself no favors. The ACC teams, you've done yourself no favors. We just went over the A-10, you scheduled like garbage. And then hopefully, maybe the Mountain West sprinkles a few more in, but, like, it's going to be a largely top-heavy power conference field. And unfortunately, it probably deserves to be that way.
I literally think we could see 10 teams from each of those three major, those three conferences in this
I might
NCAA
even, at
tournament.
this point, I might put 10 as the floor.
That's 27 out of your, what is it? Is it how many at-large bids are there, Griggs? 37 at-large bids.
37, yeah.
Not 9 plus your auto bid winner is 10. So 27 there, and that leaves 10 bids for the rest of college basketball, including the Big East and including the ACC in that rest of college basketball. That says something about these three leagues. But Griggs, your final thoughts.
What can be done to reduce the number of bye games? I mean, I don't want to get rid of them entirely because I do think it helps out some of the under the radar teams, but particularly it just seems like there's way more than what there should be, and the teams that do go out and play are reaping the rewards. Like Duke lost a game, but then they went and won at Arizona. And while Arizona's lost to Duke and Wisconsin, is anybody really concerned that they're going to miss the field? I think sometimes when you get out there and you schedule strong early, you get better sooner. And one of the things that really concerns me, there's a lot that concerns me, but one about the likely expansion of the NCAA tournament to either 72, 76, or 80. I do think that it might not happen next year, but I think it's going to be announced this summer that the field will expand. Is that a lot of schools will be like, oh, we get to play more home bye games now, and that's not good for the sport.
I could see that happening, unfortunately. That teams are, if the bigger the field, I like that point actually, Grace, that the bigger the field gets, the less teams are worried about strength of schedule.
They do, because you don't have to get as high up the seed list to get in anymore.
But anyhow, on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We're going to be back with our Under the Radar show. We're going to be recording it Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning this week. So if you normally watch this Thursday, first thing Thursday morning, you have to wait a couple extra hours. But on behalf of Matt Sikowski and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again real soon. Oh, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.